18, turn there. 1 Samuel 18. In 1 Samuel 18, would you also pick up 2 Corinthians 5? 1 Samuel 18, 2 Corinthians 5. Look at your watch one last time and then forget about it, amen? I'll still get you out of here in good order tonight. I promise you that. Doesn't need to be a long message, but it needs to be loud and to the point. 1 Samuel 18 and 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 1 Samuel 18, I want you to notice an attitude of a woman. 1 Samuel 18, look at verse 20. 1 Samuel 18, you're holding your place in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Samuel 18, verse 20. Michal, Saul's daughter, what's the next word? Love. Who'd she love? She loved David. Look at verse 28. And Saul, and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, what's that next word? Love, loved him. The Bible says that Michal loved David. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6. You're still holding your place in 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Samuel chapter 6. The Bible says that Michal loved David. 2 Samuel 6, look at verse 16. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. You know, that's a long way from loving him to despising him. What in the world happened? What changed her? May I simply say this? Life changed her. Situations in life changed her. David left. In fact, she helped him escape. She put a figure in the bed to make it look like he was still there so he could get away. And her daddy, Saul, gave her over to another man. And then when David came into power, one of the first things he's asked for was his wife back. And maybe the whole thing was somewhat unfair to her, but I'm going to say this to you, brethren. Life is unfair. Life doesn't work out the way we plan it. I didn't say God is unfair. I said life is unfair. I didn't say heaven's unfair. I didn't say God's will's unfair. I said this world's unfair. And the things that are going to happen to us down here, they're going to hurt us. They're going to, if you would, eat us up if we let it. And right here we have Saul looking through her window, but she didn't see the joy that was going on out there because in her mind's eye, it was tainted by bitterness. Right in front of her nose, looking out, she saw the ark coming up. And the people leaping and dancing for joy. But that's not what she saw. All she could see was David down there. All she could do was look at the hatred in her mind's eye at David down there. And she missed the whole spiritual adventure of what was going on sitting up in that window and looking down there at the peaceful feasting. She was in a famine inside. She missed the whole thing. You know why? She didn't get over it. Yeah, life jerked her around. Yeah, it wasn't fair. Yeah, Saul, her daddy, gave her to another man. Yes, she had reason to be bitter. Yes, she had reason to have unforgiveness, if you would. But may I say to you, she messed up in looking at this situation and not seeing that ark coming up. That was God's throne coming up back into the center of the city. They were going to inquire of it again. It was going to be God's blessing on again. But she couldn't see that because all she could see was self. I got hurt. I got used. Life wasn't fair. It didn't work out. What did I do wrong? All the shouting going on down there. They were exciting. Here was the ark coming back in. They were all getting together as a group and bringing it back in. And while they were shouting out there for what God was doing, all she could do is shout at David in her heart. She was mad at him. She was angry at him. She was angry at the whole situation, and she put and vented her anger right on him. And it wasn't fair, and she wasn't treated right, but she despised him, and she missed everything spiritual going on, even though it was right outside her window. You know what we need to be concerned about as Christians? That one day we don't sit at that same window and look out, but not see what God's doing. And only see a person out there that we're, and miss everything else. And instead of seeing what was going on out there, and if you would, the feasting that was going on, and the shouting, and the joy, and everything that God was doing out there, and how he was bringing the whole camp together, and the whole kingdom together, and how he was moving out there, and God was pleased with the whole thing, all she could sit there was stew in denial. A victim. Denial of what? Denial that the problem was not outside of that window. The problem was inside of her. Yeah, it was unfair. But God could have helped her, and God could have got her over that. Yes, David came back and asked for his wife back. And yes, I've understood, and I looked at it, and I know it wasn't fair, but the whole thing, but you got to look and see, God was pleased with what was going on outside that window. And if God's pleased, we ought to be pleased. God will do the work with us or without us. The work will get done. The ark's coming up, whether someone brings it up or God floats it up, God is going to bring his ark up. The work is going to go on with us or without us. If we as a whole church became bitter, God would just raise up another church. If a whole generation of people don't want to go in, God says, all right, I'll just wait for your children to grow up. And I'll take them in. You want to just sit there and look out your window through that tainted scars inside of your mind and just replay it over and over again and despise what I'm doing out there and not participate? That's okay, but I'm still going to get it done. She was the loser. And David walks back in. Verse 20. Then David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David. I don't think she strolled out there. I think she was angry. I think she couldn't wait to vent the vehemency and the poison inside of her. How glorious was the king of Israel today? You can sense the malice and the bitterness and the anger, if you would, the just the frustration inside of her who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaid. That's all she saw. She didn't see the ark coming up. She didn't see the shouting going on. She didn't see the feasting going on. She didn't see the burnt offerings going on. She didn't see God pleased. All she could see out there was what David was doing. Brethren, we've all been hurt. Stay in church for a while. Stay in Christianity for a while. You will get hurt. Someone will use you. Some will abuse you. Something will go wrong. Something will not go your way. And you can stew on it all you want, but life will go on and God will get his work done. And you'll just sit there for years stewing on it, looking through the window. And at the judgment seat of Christ, you'll still be saved. I'll still be saved. But he'll look and say, forfeiture of potential rewards. Suffer loss. You sat at the window and looked through the prison of your mind too long. I could have released you. You didn't want to be released. I had the capability to bring you out just like that. Your will would not let me. Everybody else was wrong, and you were the only one right. Let me give you the scriptural reason. Look at 2 Corinthians 5. And by the way, you may not be there tonight, but there'll be coming a time in the next few months where it could capture any one of us. And don't tell me it hasn't tried from time to time. Every one of us, that carnality, that selfishness, that blindness, that unforgiveness. One verse, and you know it. 2 Corinthians 5, look at verse 7. Read it with me. It's in parentheses, but that didn't mean it's an afterthought. Amen? If it's in the Bible, it's not an afterthought. I think it's in there because God said, you know what? I'm going to explain what I said in verse 6 and what we're going to say in verse 8. But in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, he says this, for we walk by, say it, faith, not by what? Sight. Read it with me. Say it. For we walk by faith, not by sight. You know what she was doing? She was walking by sight. She was walking with what she could see. All those memories, just unforgiveness and hurt and bitterness, and all she could see was David down there, and she chewed on him and chewed on him and chewed on him and got mad at him, and she missed the art coming in, and she missed the music, and she missed the shouting, and she missed the joy, and she missed the feasting, and she missed the sacrifice, and she missed it all, and she couldn't recapture it again because it already happened. The parade was done, and she missed out on the parade. Brother, time is going to keep moving. Life is going to keep going on. We don't get to turn back the hands of time. If we miss one fall and another 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 push and another outreach, another fall, and just sit in our window and stew, we don't get another chance. We don't get those opportunities all over again. I'll guarantee you there are people out in our city that used to be Sunday school teachers, used to be involved in church, used to be involved in praising God and worshiping God and giving out a tract and singing in the choir or playing in an orchestra or being in church somewhere, and they're sitting out there looking through their little window tonight at the rest of Christianity, and they're not the ones that are, if you would, we're not the losers, they're the losers. And I'm not saying we're any better, but I'm saying we don't want to go there. There is something better to do tonight than watch television. There's something better to do tonight and say, I used to do that down there. I used to go to church on Sunday night. I used to do that. Well, I had this happen to me. I got hurt and I didn't ask forgiveness. And I shut up and get back to the fight again. Somebody says, I don't think you ought to say shut up in church. Then I wouldn't do it if you ever preach. And I don't do it very often, but I want to say something. Someone every once in a while has to say, come on, get back with it again, man. Shut that stuff up in your brain. Shut that stuff off in your mind. Lay it on the altar and don't pick it up again. It's not worth it and your life's going by and you can't change what happened anyways. The problem is we got into sight and we got away from faith. Faith forgives. Faith goes on. Faith is able to put it behind us and move on. Are you getting this all down there, George? Praise it to them down there, too! Look at me, what at Genesis 17. Man, there's excitement going on. But it could pass by right in front of you and you won't get excited anymore. There's joy, but if you're not careful, if we're not careful, it'll pass right in front of our nose, but we don't have joy anymore. We're captured by the carnal and by self. Look at me, what at Genesis 17. In Genesis 17, look at verse 17. God told Abraham what was going to happen. And Sarah was going to give birth, and she was going to be a mother of nations. In verse 17, then Abraham, the friend of God, remember? Fell upon his face and what? He laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? And then Abraham came up with his own solution by sight. Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Brother, you know what that statement was in verse 17, 18? Mark it down. Abraham was thinking by sight and not by faith. And I'm not condemning him. I've not been 100 years old and looked at my body. It must have been purely humorous to him that he was going to father a child, that Sarah at 90 was going to give birth to a child. Look, if you would, at chapter 18. Stay with me. And look at verse 11. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. You can understand that. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being also, or old also. Evidently, Sarah thought it would be pleasurable at one time to have a child. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which I am old? And then, verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? That's by faith. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. God says, by faith, there's nothing too hard for me. You're looking at it by sight. I'm looking at it by faith. You're looking at it in the natural. I'm looking at it in the supernatural. You're laughing at me, but I'm going to have the last laugh. Laugh now. I know you don't understand it, and I'm not mad at you for laughing, but one of these days, you're going to weep because you laughed. You're going to realize how great a God I am. You're going to realize that I can still control those bodies and I can do whatever I want. If I can put my son in the form of a human inside a woman and never have a male relationship with that woman, I can do anything I want to do. See, Abraham and Sarah, and I'm not condemning them, brother, because I'm a human too, but they were laughing at what God said he was going to do. You say, well, you better not laugh at God. They laughed at him and he still did it anyways, because he's sovereign. And Ishmael wasn't the answer. Ishmael was a mistake. Ishmael was by sight. Abraham was by faith. Look at Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. There's going to be a few things in our life that we laugh at a little bit and are humorous a little bit, and later on we're going to go, ooh, I shouldn't have laughed at that. Numbers chapter 13, you know this. Look at verse 33. Verse 33. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as what? Say it. Grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. That last little phrase, and so we were in their sight. Brethren, that's a by sight. That's not faith, that's by sight. That's a carnal statement. That's an old slave-like mentality. That's an old oppressive, not a soldier mentality, but an old slave-like mentality, where they were returning in their hearts to be enslaved, and they said, hey, they're giants out there, and we're grasshoppers. We see ourselves that way, and that's the way they see us too. They forgot about the Red Sea parting. They forgot about the Egyptian army going down. They forgot about the Joshua's down there and Abraham holding up the rock. They forgot all about that and returned to sight and said, we are not able. And the parade passed by as I sat at their window and said, we're grasshoppers. We can't do it. And God says, okay, you can't. And you won't. Save two. I'll let Joshua and Caleb go in, and I will take your children in. You want to sit at the window? I'll let you sit at that window 40 years. And you just watch. Just wonder and waste your life in perdition. You want to be bitter and angry about me bringing you out here? You want to complain about the manna? The water and the quail? You want to go back to oppression, the leeks and the garlic in your heart? You want to murmur and complain about me? You want to say life's been unfair after I took you away out of the place where they were trying to kill your young male children? They will make you serve and you just waste your life eating and building those things for them and then getting ready to die, and that was it, and being oppressed and crying out to me, and I answered your prayer, and you still want to be that way out here? Oh, just sit at your window for a while. Look at Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. You know the story. I'm just giving you some excerpts. Judges 6, verse 15. Gideon said, and he said unto him, O my Lord, Gideon speaking, wherewith, verse 15 of Judges 6, wherewith shall I save Israel? He said, how can I do it? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. Mark it down. He's looking at it by sight. But God looked at Gideon by faith, and you know what he said in verse 12? And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. There's two statements. One's by sight and one's by faith. By sight, Gideon said, I'm nobody, I'm nothing, I'm least in my father's house. And God says, hey, mighty man of valor, I'm with you. Yeah. I told Brother Mulligan after the Thursday night service, I said, "Brother, one of the best statements you made was when you called yourself a stuttering fool." I said, "Thank you for saying that, because that takes the excuse away from the rest of us." He said, "Did I say that?" I said, "I got it on tape." He said, "Are you sure I said that?" I said, "You didn't know what you were saying up there, because you had yielded yourself to the Holy Spirit. You didn't even know where you were going half the time. You were all over the place, but you said the things we needed to hear. Therefore, you get no credit. There's your offering, but no credit. And you're still," I told him, I said, "you're still just a stuttering fool." He said, "Amen." Started laughing. I said, "But it was good to have a stuttering fool in our church. And I'm glad you didn't read the whole Bible to us. You would have been there." We all have our reasons we can't. "Oh, if I were just put together like him or her, then I could do it." You ought to have seen them before God got a hold of them. "Oh no, they were just born to do that." No, they were born again to do that. One was by sight, one was by faith. I'm sure glad that God didn't let him off the hook. And I'm glad he recorded it. Look, if you would, at 2 Kings 7. 2 Kings 7, you say, "How long is this message?" That's by sight. Let's go by faith, brother, sister. 2 Kings 7. 2 Kings 7. They're in the great famine. They're eating things that no human ought to eat, but they had to. That's all they had. If you want to get the context of it, if you've read it, never read it, don't read it now, but in chapter 6, 24 to the end, you'll get the context. There was even cannibalism going on. Chapter 7, Elisha says, and it's a statement of faith, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord," tomorrow, about this time. And you know what he's saying? "Everything will be taken care of. We'll be back to normal again tomorrow at this time." It was a statement of faith. But the statement of sight was in verse 2. "Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be." That was a statement by sight. He couldn't understand it. It was beyond him. It was beyond his great human intellect to figure out how that could be. The man of God then said, and he said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes." But just like my cow in the window, you're not going to participate. You're not going to be involved. You're not going to eat of it. You're going to be able to see it, but with that kind of attitude, you're not going to be allowed to even partake of it. You've already had your last meal. And by the way, the last thing he ate wasn't healthy. Because if you know the story, he was the one who handled the gate. And the next thing you know, they were trampling on top of him and he died. Oh, he saw it, he heard about it, but he didn't get to partake of it. You know why? In the right context, he's sitting at the window saying, "Not going to happen." We would call that a gainsayer. Always finding something wrong with something that somebody else wants to do for God. "Now, I don't think it's going to work. What if we fail? I'd rather have tried and failed than have never tried at all." We walk by faith and not by sight. And by the way, the attitude can creep in. Something happens, or a series of somethings happen. And if we're not careful, what creeps in is this attitude of, "I'm a victim. It's not fair. What that person did to me wasn't fair. What that person said to me wasn't fair. How that person treated me wasn't fair. The opportunities were given to this person, that's not fair. Or this happened and that wasn't fair. Or I was doing this and they didn't appreciate it, and that wasn't fair." Life's not fair. But brethren, God is always fair. They didn't treat Jesus fairly. He got rung up for your sins and my sins. They lied about him. They falsely accused him. He went to the cross and did nothing wrong. Life wasn't fair. But he didn't die a victim. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And he rose victorious. And he never had a grudge and never got bitter and never got angry and never quit and never blamed humans, even though we could be blamed. He never looked down there and said, that mankind, why don't we just destroy them all and forget about it? You know what he did? He said, no, before I destroy them, I'm going to go down and try to give them the opportunity to be saved. Because I love them and I created them. They're wicked in their heart. They're vile. They're all those things. But I'll go down and give my all for them. Hey, statement. The fall is just around the corner. In the fall, Bible Institute starts. Christian adult education for those who want to take some classes. In the fall, we're having bus days. In the fall, we're having the big day. In the fall, we're having the cantata. We will do it. Good to say. It will get done with all of us or without all of us. And if you're sitting at the window right now and nobody knows, but you know, and you're stewing on something, the fall will be accomplished and it'll pass right in front of your nose. There will be the bus days. There will be the big day. There will be the cantata. And you will see people in joy and shouting and saying hallelujah and testimonies and all kinds of stuff. And all you'll do is sit there and say, life's not fair. Christianity treated me wrong. Take your eyes off people by sight and put your eyes back on God by faith. God did not do anything unfair to any one of us. Well, he allowed this to happen. Suck it up. You say, that's not good preaching. That's not good vernacular. Eat it. Swallow it. Put it aside. Lay it at the cross. Whatever you have to do, just lay it aside and stop looking out that window and come out that door and get busy with it all. Now, let me say the things you'll chew on tonight. Shut up. Suck it up. And let me say it again so you can be offended all night long and sit at the little window about this message. But the rest of us know where we're going and what we're doing. And we're working together as a team to bring the ark up yet again. I'll tell you what. My daddy died of a heart attack at 45. My brother already has heart problems. I already have an irregular heart. And I'm not going to let this fall go by and waste the fall because I only have so many left. At best, I got 25 or 30 left. And fall is a wonderful time to go to battle. Fall is a wonderful time to reach into areas of this city we've never reached before. But we won't do it by complaining about each other. Oh, by the way, you say, outreach, outreach, outreach. Don't we have any in-reach? We just talked about the singles. We've already got planned for in-reach. We've got a father-daughter night planned. We've got a mother-son night planned. We've got a men's camp out with the boys planned. We've got a ladies' banquet with all the ladies and the young ladies planned. We've got in-reach planned, too. We've got Bible Institute so you can have a closer walk with God. Amen. We've got all kinds of things going on. But may I say to you, and I don't want to say this like you, but someone could sit at their window and miss the whole thing. We've got all kinds of things going on. But may I say to you, and I don't want to say this like you, but someone could sit at their window and miss the whole thing. And the world will entangle them and capture them and pull them back in. And they'll just know that it's somebody else's fault. And they'll just sit there and be mad at David, whom she used to love. Or be mad at the church, whom we used to love. Or be mad at some brother or sister whom we used to love. Or be mad at some situation, but when we got saved, we were just so glad to be saved and be a part of it. Who cares when we got recognized or not? Well, they haven't mentioned me in a while. I used to do this, but I'm not allowed to do that anymore. The music's playing. Somebody's leaping and dancing. The ark is coming up. There's shouting going on. There's sacrificing going on. God, through the ark and symbolic of the throne, is coming back into the camp.
He's already blessed the house of Obed-Edom for years. And now the ark's coming back in so God can put his power and presence back in the center of Israel again. The Spirit of God is already upon David, and David's given it all his might. And he comes back into the household, and Michal comes out to greet him and says, "You made a fool of yourself." And David says, "Yup, and I'm going to do it again." Because David was not going to take any of her bitterness and let it affect him. Yup, you haven't seen nothing yet, baby. Read it. It's in the translation. He wasn't going to let her bitterness looking out that window stop him from being and doing what he was supposed to be for the God who delivered him out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear and out of Goliath's hand. And after God blessed him so many times, he wasn't going to let a little silly woman stop him from doing what he was supposed to do. And ladies, may I say something? Don't let that man get all bitter and disgruntled. Fast and pray for him. Put your arms around him. Do what you do. Whisper in his ear, "Let's get busy for God, big boy." I'm married to you. I don't want an anchor. Let's do something for God. I didn't marry you to get bitter. I didn't marry you to watch you sit at home and watch television all night long. I didn't marry you to sit on that computer all day long and play those silly games. I didn't marry you to do nothing and get mad at the men down at church. I didn't marry you to hear your bitterness. I married you and wanted to do something for God. What happened to your vows? It's just not the ladies. It's the men too. Our children and our next generation is watching. And say, "Man, what got into the preacher?" It comes in all different forms and shapes and sizes. And I'm just going to yield and be what God wants me to be. And today, this is what I'm supposed to be. You go away and you can say, "I think we better find another church." You'll get mad there too. Oh no, we want to go to a place where there's love and compassion. There's love and compassion here. Oh no, we want to go to a place where they have a little different attitude. You mean more liberal? You mean where they don't have standards? You mean where the music's changed? And they don't push you to go door knocking? There's outreach and there's inreach. If you sit at the window here, you'll sit at the window there. Here's the problem. I'm not going down to that altar tonight. No way. He said, "Shut up and suck it up, and I'm not responding to that." That offended me. You better do what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. Because I'm not your judge. I'm just a messenger boy. You'll stand before him one day. And it won't be the messenger boy judging you. I'm trying to encourage you along. I'll do it softly. I'll do it kindly. I'll do it compassionately. Or I'll do it by shaking my little bony finger in your fist while I can. Everybody responds to different things. And if tonight you say, "I didn't like that message," come back next week. And we'll take care of it this way. But tonight we're doing it a different way. And may I say this, those of you who are going strong, pray in the form of a deterrent. Please don't let this ever happen to me, God. Please don't let this ever happen to my spouse. Please don't let this ever happen to my children. Don't let us as a family go home and stew on this and sit at our little window as a family and look out through bitterness. Because poison spreads. It can spread like a cancer into a home, into a marriage, into a family, look, into a group of people, into a ministry, into a church. It can spread. My cow was treated unfairly. By the way, what did God think of what my cow did? I'll leave that to your studies. He was not pleased. She was treated unfairly, but he was not pleased with how he treated a man after his own heart. God was not pleased with that. See what happened. I won't go into it. Study it and find out. Read. Get your concordance out. And look up my cow in about three other places following this. And you'll see that God wasn't pleased with her actions. Not one bit. It was by sight, not by faith. Fall's coming. Bible Institute, big days, outreaches. Some of y'all better jump into the choir and get ready for the cantata. Some of y'all jump in the orchestra and get ready for the cantata. Jump into a ministry and get ready for the big day. Decide you're going to work the bus days a little bit. Go to Bible Institute. We'll keep ministering to the home and the family and the children. We'll keep ministering and promote the home and the family. Schooling's coming up. I mean, we want you to homeschool. We want you to go to Lighthouse Christian Academy. Whatever you do, we want the children. We want you to have family time. We want you to have principals at home. We want to promote that. We're going to have a father-daughter, a father-son, a mother-son, a mother-daughter at the ladies' banquet. We want relationships to be strong. We want all that. We better redeem the time. And I don't think this is redeeming the time at all. You can get mad at me. You can get mad at somebody else. You can get disgruntled. Or you can ask forgiveness for those who have feeble minds like me. And just say, Lord, comfort that little feeble mind. We all do things to each other that we wish we wouldn't have done. But we're not going to hang on to them and use that as our reason and our excuse. Because before the judgment seat of Christ, all excuses go away. Because he'll look down and say, you said that to them, but I saw in your heart. And I could have purified that if you would have given that over to me. Why don't you tonight? And let him have it so you can enjoy the parade as it passes by. And eat a piece of bread and not the bread of bitterness. And have a feast and not just have an old famine inside, dry, empty, dead bones rattle around in there. Nobody treated me right. I don't get to do anything. Brother, sister, there are so many opportunities here. At our church, if you don't do something, it's because you wanted not to. There are so many things you can do. You can do as much as you want or as little as you want. But don't say there's not opportunities and we're a big church and it doesn't seem like I can find my place. Come talk to us. We'll help you find your place. We'll find you five places. We'll find 10 places for you and you can pick 8 of them. There's plenty to do. Don't worry about what someone else thinks tonight. God, keep us going. Keep my family going. Keep our marriage going. Keep my children going. Help me not to sit at that window of bitterness. Let's all stand. We'll not wait on the music tonight. Let's just be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Heads bound, if you need to, eyes closed. If you want to just turn around to your pew, if you want to pray with your son or your daughter tonight, a grandchild, you want to pray with your spouse tonight, you want to pray with each other, for each other as a ministry, it would be good for some of us to thank God for the good reports we just heard from Brother Jeff Torres in the Spanish ministry and from the Brother Mike Klein and Brother Dublin and Brother Sister Strim in the singles ministry. We ought to thank God and praise him a little bit tonight. It's hard to praise when we're bitter and angry and hurt and a victim. It's hard to thank him. It's hard to plan on doing anything. It's by faith or it's my sight. And you might want to say, oh God, help me to get back to walking by faith. Life isn't fair, but you're always fair. Life isn't always good, but you're always good. Abraham laughed, Sarah laughed, but God still let them accomplish his will. Gideon said, you don't know, I'm just of this least little family over here, and I'm the smallest and the littlest in all of them. And God said, thou mighty man of valor. My cow wouldn't drop it, wouldn't let it go. And David had to go on around her and keep going. the grasshopper mentality of those oppressive former slaves that God had freed. The king, the keeper of the gate. Could these things be if God would make windows in heaven? The prophet said, you're going to see it, but you're not going to participate. You're not going to eat of it. You're not in on it. You're done. There's a harvest. With us or without us, God will get his harvest done. Ladies, you play. We'll let the Lord work. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, tonight would be a good night to do so. Get in the fight. Get in on this journey. Find a place. Shake off the summer, the spiritual slumps, or what has happened, good or bad, and let's move on. Let's get our hearts ready as we come into August in a few weeks and get ready for the fall. We'll do inreaches. We'll strengthen marriages. We'll strengthen homes and families. We'll support schooling. We'll have our Bible Institute. But we'll also reach out. Bus days, our big day, and our cantata. We need more laborers in the harvest, and God has given us a great, great summer. We don't want to lose anybody along the way. It is your all on the altar tonight. I say that to myself too. If you're standing and you want to be seated, we're going to let this roll for a little bit tonight. It's still early. Take your time at the altar. If you're in your seat and you feel like you're supposed to go to an altar, and you say, oh, I missed it, I'm giving you another chance right now. Just get up and come. Don't worry about being towards the end of it. It's not. We'll take as long as we need to. Prayer in room 120 to thank the Lord tonight, and I'm sure that Brother Klein wouldn't mind anybody slipping in there to pray and to thank the Lord, whether you went to the retreat or not. Nothing wrong with people thanking and praising God a little bit for something that happened at their church, as a part of their church. Security meeting tonight, remind you of that. Next Sunday night, have a little fellowship after the services at our new ministry. I think God's going to use that in a great way. Beginners department had a great appreciation time yesterday for the junior workers. Different ministries met. Our teens went out last night, had a great time. Single mothers had a great time. A lot of great soul winning going on. A lot of things going on. Families having good times. Families getting away, having time together. A lot of great things going on. Let's walk by faith. Our Father, tonight, we thank you, Lord, for all that we've heard. Thank you for the good testimonies, Father. Thank you for the outreach testimonies and the inreach testimonies. And we pray, Father, we'll not let this fall go by and sit at our window. God, some of us tonight are in fairly good shape spiritually, but God, help us not to get to the place where we get complacent and start staring at what happened to us. Help us to be careful about that. And if we get there, Lord, would you shake us up and move us on past that window and move us down the stairs and out the door to participate, Lord. And God, if someone's there tonight, I pray you'd edge them away from that window, Father. I pray you'd stir them early in the morning or through the evening, sometime tomorrow. Just really come down on them in power, Lord, and love them and let them know, Father, that you can take care of that in their heart so they can go on and become what they're supposed to be and return to what they used to be for you. I pray that you would do that, Father, beyond what any human can do. that your operation through thy Holy Spirit, that would take place. May we not lose anybody along the trail. May no one get caught in the thicket and waste their life at that window, only to face an eternity and suffer some loss. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jeff, you have something, you come. We'll get ready to dismiss. The rest of y'all can be seated, and we'll get ready to go in just a moment from now.
There's a family to be baptized tonight, but I don't have the card yet, so when Brother Jordan gets ready, he'll read you the names. But this morning, a lot of you are out working. We had a baptism. Lim Jo Hyun, he's from Korea. He used to live with me for a long time, moved out, and is in his own apartment now, but he's kept faithful in church, and he followed the Lord and Believer's baptism this morning. Great victory, amen. People come all the way from Korea. And one's very special to me today is my oldest daughter, Jennifer, and her husband, Sean Myers. They've come to join the church tonight, amen. Amen. So Sean and Jennifer, you'll stand up right now. Everybody see you, who you are, amen. All right, thank you very much. You may sit down after church today, after the baptism and everything. They'll come down here at the front. I'd like you to come down, shake their hand, and welcome in the church. It's a great day, amen. It's a blessing.
Let's all stand while we're waiting for baptism. Everybody just stand if you would. They'll get there in just a moment from now. Sean and Jennifer, come on up here. If you need to go right now, we understand. The rest of us will mill around. Why don't you come and shake their hand right now? We're going to let the instruments play. And as soon as they're ready, you can watch up here. We can have baptism. So if you would, the instruments will play. Come on up here if you would, guys. Shake their hands. That's good. You can mill around. We'll watch. We'll call you back in just a moment from now. Good. Good. Go out and shake somebody's hand. Say hello to somebody. If you need to go right now, we understand you want to get to the nurseries and get on home. If you want to get ready for the security meeting or go to the prayer, that's good. We'll watch the baptism in just a moment from now. No hurry tonight. Good shape. Good to be in church tonight.